שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר כתבי בעל הסולם את מאמר הערבות של בעל
הסולם. We are reading from בעל הסולם's writings, the ערבות article. We are on item 25. You're welcome to enter our site, Sviva Tova or Gab TV, and send questions. Pertinent questions will be aired during the lesson. Item 25. Now there remains to complete what we have said in the previous article, Matan Torah, item 16, about the reason that Torah was not given to the fathers, since the mitzvah, love your friend as yourself, the axis of the whole Torah, and around which all the mitzvot revolve, so as to clarify and interpret it, cannot be observed by an individual, but only through prior consent of an entire nation. This is why it took until they came out of Egypt to become worthy of observing it, when they were first asked if each and every one in the nation agreed to take that mitzvah upon himself. And once they agreed to it, they were given the Torah. However, there still remains to clarify where we find in the Torah that the children of Israel were asked that question, and that they agreed to it prior to receiving the Torah.
Well, in the meantime, these are questions we don't understand and don't know. How come they agreed to it? And why are we obligated to it? These are still, there are plenty of questions here. It's still kind of vague. Let's continue.
Item 26, bear in mind that these matters are evident to every educated person. In the invitation that the Creator sent to Israel through Moses, prior to the reception of the Torah, it is as it is written, "Now, if you surely listen to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a sgula unto me from all the people. For all the earth is mine, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you will say to the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord has commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people unto the Lord. Thus far. These words do not seem to fit their role, since common sense dictates that if one offers one's friend to do some work and wants him to agree, he should give him an example of the nature of that and its reward. Only then can the receiver examine it, whether to decline or to accept. But here, in these two verses, we seem to find neither an example of the work nor its reward. Because he says, "If you surely listen to my voice and keep my covenant." And he does not interpret the voice or the covenant and to what they apply. And then he says, "Then you will be a sgula to me from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." It is not clear whether he commands us to labor to be a sgula from among all the people, or whether this is a promise of benefit for us. We must also understand the connection to the words, "For all the earth is mine." All three interpreters, Onkelos, Yonatan ben Uziel, and the Jerusalem Talmud, find it difficult to interpret these words, as is the case with all the interpreters, Rashi, Rambam, etc., Even Ezra says in the name of Rabbi Marinus that the word for means although. He interprets, then you will be a remedy unto me from all the people, although all the earth is mine. Ibn Ezra himself tends to agree with it too. But that interpretation does not coincide with our sages, which said that four serves four meanings. Either, lest, but, and that. And he even adds a fifth interpretation, although. And then the writings end, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Here too, it is not self-evident if this is a mitzvah, and one must exert in this, or a promise of benefit. Also, the words a kingdom of priests are not repeated or explained anywhere in the Bible. The important thing here is to determine the difference between a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. For by the ordinary meaning of priesthood, it is only with sanctity. It is one with sanctity. And it is therefore obvious that a kingdom where all are priests is a holy nation. So the words holy nation seem redundant.
In the meantime, it's just questions and a lot of philosophization that we're not really used to. He writes it in a language that those who study the Torah understand, feel, can maybe understand the style. It's not a style that's meant for the masses, for the common people, that like it was when these articles, that it suited the times when it was written.
Letter 27. However, by all that we have explained from the beginning of the essay until now, we learn the true meaning of the words as their roles should be, to resemble a negotiation of offer and consent. This means that with these words, he really does offer them the whole form and content of the work in Torah and Mitzvot, and its worthwhile reward. Because the work in Torah and Mitzvot is expressed in the words, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. Because a kingdom of priests means that all of you, from the youngest to the oldest, will be as priests. Meaning, just as priests have no land or any corporeal possessions, since the Creator is their lot, so will the entire nation be organized so that the whole earth and everything in it will be dedicated to the Creator.
This is the condition, that this is the form that you have to come to, you have to reach.
And no person should have any other engagement in it, but to observe the mitzvot of the Creator and satisfy the needs of his fellow person, so his friend will lack none of his wishes. So that no person will need to have any worry about himself. In this way, even secular works, such as harvesting, sowing, etc., are considered to be precisely like the work with the sacrifices that the priests performed in the temple.
Meaning, these are all acts of bestowal towards each other, therefore it doesn't matter where you are. Are you in the field, at the temple? Doesn't matter what kind of work you're doing. If it's an action of in order to bestow, then you're already inside the system of Kedusha, sanctity.
Because how is it different if I observe the mitzvah of making sacrifices to the Creator, which is a mitzvah to do, or I observe the mitzvah to do love your friend as yourself. It follows that he who harvests his field in order to feed his fellow person is the same as one who sacrifices to the Creator.
So is it clear? Thus far. Yes or no? Who says no? Who said no?
No.
Well,
I didn't understand what the point here is, that he's harvesting his field and sacrificing.
You're from a village, you're from the farm, you understand it or not? Suppose you're working in the field, and everything that comes from the field, you dedicate it to everyone for them to later enjoy the crops, or you're writing a book, for example, or you're giving a lecture, or you're doing something in the temple. What's the difference if you're doing it in order to bestow? I'm asking you, is there a difference between small or great here? No. Everyone bestows as much as they can, and in that, everyone's equal. In bestow, there's no difference between people. Are you bestowing more or are you bestowing less? But relatively, if you're bestowing, according to you're doing what you can, then everyone's equal.
How is it possible that I am equal to Bala Sulam, to Rabbi Shimon?
No problem. No problem. People that reach Gemara Tikkun, each of them reaches his own personal Gemara Tikkun. That, out of his individual soul, he makes a tzimtzum on it, and all the actions that come, all of his actions are in order to bestow to other souls, meaning he becomes the cogwheel in the general system that is 100% correctly working in a beneficial way. So that's called the end of his correction. And in that, he attains the entire system. He attains its force, its mind, and the way it works, and its wholeness and perfection, and also its inner mind, its motivation, which is the Creator. And there is no difference between what he attains and what is attained by Rabbi Shimon and Bala Sulam and all the Kabbalists together. No difference. If the smallest cogwheel is working correctly with regard to the general system, then he attains the mind and the way the entire system functions. Is that not clear? Even logically wise, when you look at a small cogwheel, it can stop the entire machine. And it can also work with the machine, move with the entire machine together. In order to do that, he has to understand the mind, the thought, the intention of this entire machine in order to work with them in harmony. So he absorbs into himself everything that this machine includes. And besides that, he also absorbs the purpose of the Creator, the mind, the brain, his intention, the smallest cogwheel, because he has to turn with everyone. And to turn is according to one's personal desire, correction. It's not that he's being turned forcefully. No more and no less, but with everyone really, truly in connection, in adhesion. It's in mind and heart and everyone together. The self disappears here, the sense of self. Do you understand what an integral system is? The individual self disappears and one acquires this entire system, which is him.
So what's nevertheless the difference between the souls?
In Gemara Tikkun, there is no difference between the souls. There is one soul. It returns to be one. the one receives the one. That's it.
So if we return to one, so where's the benefit in this whole diversity, this, where that the shattering was because of that?
That this small part made an effort to serve everyone from where he is, from his place. This is his own property. And this is some, I don't know what happens later after all of these things, but this is something that remains, stays, it doesn't pass.
So it turns out that towards that common effort, there's each has an equal effort?
Yes, everyone attains Gemara Tikkun.
The fact that we attain the end of correction, but until the end of correction, I want each and everyone?
Until Gemara Tikkun, of course.
As far as the measure of the effort, I, in order to reach, according to my qualities, to the end of my end of correction, and Moses, in order to reach his end of correction, do we have the same exertion, the same effort?
No, of course not. How could it be that they'll make this?
If also Itai's, not effort.
Look, Itai is sitting in front of you. You see him?
Yes, yes, I see him. Without even looking at him, I see him.
Look how chubby he is, strong. And me, I can lift maybe 10 kilos max, and he can lift 50 kilos. So the work is different. So what are you asking about? Are your achievements different?
Why?
Because he's an important part in the system, and I'm less important, a less important
part. Because
he's
one part of the system, and I'm another part of the system.
In that you have to move with the system harmoniously. If you're talking about a whole and complete thing, imagine a melody where something's missing. One note. Suppose a pianist didn't push.
Khalil
didn't push a key. He didn't push a key. Where this pinky? He didn't. So it's no longer whole or perfect. There is no Gemar Tikkun. I'm telling you, in an ideal machine, that we have no such examples in our world, but if the machine is ideal, whole and complete, then there's no difference, great or small.
Okay, that's as far as the functioning. I didn't understand, what are we equalized by? By what am I equalizing with a great Kabbalist? If he does much more exertion, even on a common way.
He got a role, he got help, he got everything. He functions. At the end of correction, and sure, I don't know, you think about it. It'll just be many words. At the end of correction, we reach a state where everyone's equal, where everyone is working, is doing a kind of work in which there's no difference. Once in the kibbutzes, this is what they wanted to do. That it doesn't matter what a person does. If he works, if he really puts himself in, he does what he can, no problem. Everyone's equal. And sure, the souls, they're not equal. The shattering is such that there are no two people that are similar, but each gives his relative part, and that's that. The main thing is that the connection gives everyone's deficiencies, everyone's forces, lights from everyone, the measure of connection of everyone. And so what follows is that everyone becomes the individual, and the general and the collective are equal. The individual equals the collective. Just think about this law. It is a law that stems from an integral, whole, and complete system. Let's continue.
We're continuing.
You want to add something? It's to the point?
No.
We will try. It's written about 600,000 souls, this, but we'll read from there a little excerpt. Hopefully it's not too difficult. This is the matter that is written that due to the Messiah, the audacity will be multiplied, and each will be angered at his other, a youth and his elder, and the meaning is that both a youth will be bring great might towards the world as if he was from the elder of the respectable of the nation. Because even though he has a lowly soul, if he would aim his heart and depict his desirable acts, he will be able to merit the whole of the holy nation with all the wonders that they tasted in a holy nation until this day, because they were all but a preparation for this perfection. Hence, that personal soul has to taste everything too, and he acquires his world in 1 hour due to the virtue of that generation to extend the crown of his kingship, which includes it all, as it's written in Brachot, and they all need for the people of the reads and all, and each detail are obligated with it and understand.
And then the entire world, Mr. Neve, if you're asking about the souls, then the entire world, all the people, doesn't matter who and what, everyone will reach the same level, equal level, and everyone will be integrated equally in that one system. Those that came from the people of Israel, from the nations of the world, had different roles, the wicked, there was such, doesn't matter. Everyone, it'll be revealed that everyone did their role and they will reach the complete correction. Where are we?
We're continuing where the paragraph where it starts, moreover. Moreover, it makes sense that the mitzvah, love your friend as yourself, is more important than one who makes the sacrifice, as we have shown above in item 14 and 15. Indeed, this is not the end of the matter, for the whole of the Torah and mitzvot were given for the sole purpose of cleansing Israel.
Meaning, where you said that this is Rabbi Shimon and this is Niv Navon. No. Rabbi Shimon does what he does and Niv Navon does what he does. It's not necessarily that there's a difference here, but until Gemara Tikkun. But when you attain the wholeness and perfection, there's no difference.
All the Torah and Mitzvot were given for the sole purpose of cleansing Israel, which is the cleansing of the body, as written in item 12. After which, he will be granted the true reward of Dvikut with him, which is the purpose of creation. That reward is expressed in the words, a holy nation. As through the Dvikut with him, we have become holy. As it is written, you will be holy to the Lord your God, for I, the Lord, your God, who sanctifies you, am holy.
Meaning, you have to receive the same qualities and intentions as the Creator has in order to bestow.
And you see that in the words, a kingdom of priests, it expresses the complete form of the work on the axis of love your friend as yourself. Meaning, a kingdom that is all priests, that the Creator is their possession, and they have no self-possession of all mundane possessions.
Meaning that it's all in order to bestow Gav Bina.
We must admit that this is the only definition through which we can understand the words, a kingdom of priests. For you cannot interpret it with regard to the sacrifices on the altar, since this cannot be said about the whole nation. For who would be making the sacrifices? Also, with regards to taking the gifts of the priesthood, who would be the givers? And also, to interpret the holiness of the priests, it has been said, a holy nation. Therefore, this must certainly mean that it is only that the Creator is their domain, and that they lack any material possessions for themselves. Meaning the full measure of the words, love your friend as yourself, which encompasses the whole of the Torah. And in the words, a holy nation, the full form of the reward is expressed, which is the Dvikut.
Simply put, you have to reach complete bestowal, and this is the end of our correction. What?
I hear a lot about this thing about the priests that have no self-possession and the measure of love, life, and self, meaning we're called priests here, right? We're supposed to be called priests.
Wait a second. I don't understand what you're saying. Nebuch, not Nebuch.
What are they meant for? Kabbalah study here, students, what are they? Are they priests?
Everyone has to reach a state where they are in complete bestowal, but on the way there, there are different degrees. And it's not because you were born from a father who's a Kohen.
But a type of priest. One who studies Kabbalah on the path is supposed to be eventually a priest.
Right.
Meaning both a priest and poor. That's what he's saying here. What is he saying? Who are they? He says that they lack any mundane possessions of to the measure of love thy friends, which is the collective of the whole Torah.
Yeah, he has no desire for it. Sure, he receives everything in order to be able to exist, but his entire work is to be in order to bestow. These are the priests, the Kohens.
You talked this week that nothing prevents the Kabbalists to be very rich. How does that go together, those two sentences? I don't understand. On one hand like this, on the other hand like that.
I don't want to argue right now, but it's completely irrelevant how much gold does a person have, or dollars, or... It's not about that, but the only thing that we're talking about is that his desire is not directed at receiving for himself in any way besides for his basic needs. But along with it, it doesn't stand in the way of anything.
Because if your head is in the matter of...
So your problem is your head, I understand.
It's not my problem. I see this in all the generations. The problem is...
I studied with Rabash and I had no corporeal problems. I was adhered to all these things. I was adhered to him. And still, I had a few cars and a few apartments and whatnot. And was I thinking about it? No. Did I enjoy it? No. I was, you know, all about this. These things are unrelated.
The question is, don't you have to give everything up? Or?
Again, we're talking about the desire. In your desire, are you all the time dealing, engaged in your possessions? Or are you thinking all the time about how do I rise to in order to bestow to the degree of Bina?
You don't have to give up our whole life.
You don't have to give up anything. To the contrary, you give up nothing. You have to make sure that you have everything, but we have to adhere with the Creator and what we call heart and soul. You know what the general public thinks, you think too, I see.
No, because what he's saying is, look at the sentence. Just they have no possessions in any mundane that's corporeal possession in the land?
Matter of desire, yes.
And that's how the whole nation will be arranged, where it's, they're all going to be like that and serving the Creator. You know, I have here... It's
you
touching my head here.
I understand. You'll have to think about it. The Torah doesn't say that you have to get rid of all of your assets, possessions, and to live on the street. No. But you have to take care of all of those things that you need in order to live a normal life. The question is, where's your heart? Where are your thoughts? This is where man is.
Item 28. Now we fully understand the previous words, for he says, "Now, if you surely listen to my voice and keep my covenant," meaning make a covenant on what I am telling you here, meaning to be me, to be my zgula from amongst all the people. This means that you will be my remedy, my zgula, and sparks of purification and cleansing of the body will pass through you onto all the people and the nations of the world.
You hear that? This is the intention and our commitment to the Creator and His intention towards us, that we have to shift the forces of correction, pass them on to all the nations.
Since for the nations of the world, they're not yet ready for this, at any rate, and I need one nation to start with now, so it will be as a remedy for all the nations. For this reason, he ends, "For all the earth is mine," meaning all the peoples of earth belong to me as you do and are destined to adhere to me. But now, while they are still incapable of performing that task, here I need a virtuous people. And if you agree to be the remedy for all the nations, I command you to be unto me a kingdom of priests, which is the love of others in its final form of love your friend as yourself, which is the axis of all the Torah and mitzvot, and a holy nation, which is the reward in its final form of dvikut with him, which includes all the rewards that can even be conceived.
Questions? Yes, Gershon.
About what you spoke with Tzvika earlier, a question awakened in me. A person wants to go on the way of Bestol, so throughout his walk on this path, doesn't he get an additional flavor to all those things that he said, in material and money? And
so what? What, we have to suffer, we have to cry, what?
No, I'm asking, is in parallel with his walking towards Bestol, he
has to enjoy. I want to enjoy this, that I'm on the right path, in the right direction. But what? I'm crying.
No, you gave an example, for example, yourself, that you had cars and so on and so forth. So let's say, throughout the path, doesn't you get that flavor that all of a sudden you want this nice car, or you want...
You'll be given different such obstacles on the way. I want one today, too.
Okay. So what should the attitude be towards that desire that awakens, that desire that awakens? Should you implement it? You, all of a sudden I want to buy a Rolls Royce. I'm really in Bestol, all of a sudden I feel like a Rolls Royce. So what's my attitude towards that?
Buy one.
I should buy it?
No problem. Buy it.
That's the question, actually. What's the attitude towards those desires that awaken?
Come on, what are we talking about here? Our attitude is not condemned or praiseworthy.
But that's not despicable. All of a sudden, along the path, I want a Rolls Royce.
What attitude can I have towards something which is beyond my basic needs? I don't understand what you're asking about.
Rolls Royce is an example. You know, I have an example. I understood the answer. I want to ask another question about what Neva talked before. The personal end of correction. You said that all the wicked and all everyone eventually reaches their place in the machine to their correction. A person that reaches his individual end of correction, and he looks at reality, so does he see it like corrected? Does he see all the wicked all of a sudden in their place, in their roles?
To the extent of his correction, that's what he sees.
So what's the attitude of a Kabbalist to such suffering and wars?
In accordance with where he is.
What does that mean?
Attain and you shall see.
The way I understand it, I need to find my place inside the system and to bestow to friends as much as I can. And there's other bestowal that in the corporeal world, let's say I help my grandmother cross the street. It doesn't help the system, but it helps the grandmother and it helps me to feeling for myself. If I have to look for such influences, bestowals, or do I have to close my eye at the corporeal eye and think of the friends and
I see.
The whole system?
The right thing, the right way, shortest way is if you invest all of your forces, besides what you need in order to sustain your family, everything else you invest in the 10. All of your forces. Leave the grandma and the road to someone else. I'm telling you seriously. There are people that'll take care of it. Yeah.
Campus Tel Aviv, русскоязычный.
Tel Aviv campus. In Russian. I wanted to ask this question long ago, but I was a little ashamed. In the Israeli convention, by using the method of fear with friends and prayer for adhesion, I learned to enter into the field of desires. A minute later, a moment later, it throws me from there. I want to ask you if there's some connection with the spiritual world, or is it my mind that's responding to my immense desire to connect with the friends and is presenting that picture to me. It seems like it only succeeds in conventions and here in Bnei Baruch.
These are all exercises from above. The Creator is giving you these exercises in order for you to actually be a nagger, to apply pressure, to hold on to the goal, and to be drawn to it all the time, despite the disturbances.
What? Me?
Who?
Kiev.
Доброе утро, Рав. У меня вопрос такой.
Good morning, Rav. I have a question. If we are all in one place, in one cell, and each observes his function, his role, and that's our main work, why do we need envy for the friends to be greater, higher than us?
How can we add to our will to receive without envy? How can we grow? Envy, lust, and honor bring a person or take a person out of this world, out of his small place, by envy, lust, and honor. Only this way can we connect with each other. First of all, by wanting to receive from them what they have, to control them, and then I understand that actually by subjugating myself to them, I acquire what they have.
Orlando. Kentos.
Yes, Todd.
As we go through these articles, struck by the fact that we are rarely seeing or talking or being presented with the concept of intention, kavanah. But it seems a critical part of this these efforts towards bestowal. So I guess the question is there a reason that the kavanah isn't mentioned? And can you maybe remind us of the importance of this or how it's instrumental in our work here?
The intention speaks of a person's direction. What is he drawn to? What is his desire aimed at? Because by our actions, in our world we know by the actions what the intention is. Because it's obvious, the intention and the action are one and the same. In spirituality, the intention and the action aren't the same. Maybe I'm doing something that doesn't seem as something nice, good, both regarding myself or others. Others can get confused by what I'm doing. The intention, it's hidden, and therefore it's called the hidden wisdom. It's like the Creator. Why is the Creator hidden? He's hidden because we can't identify Him, because He is the intention. He's the intention. Like Rabash said, that my grandmother told me, Baruch, you remember what you did? Now I have to spank you. And she spanks him. Someone who looks at how the grandma spanks her beloved grandson, what'll he think? Either she's crazy, or she's cruel, or what's going on. But no one will understand that she's doing it out of love. And that this actually breaks her heart, that she has to spank him. So she actually beats herself more than she spanks him, and by that she helps him. Meaning that there's the matter here of that the intention is hidden. He's telling us about the revealed things, love, connection, annulment, and so on. Moscow.
No, Москва.
Москва. Come on.
Here in 28, it's written that there needs to be, for now, one nation. Relative to us, how can you express this?
By connection, bit by bit, when we enter spirituality, we really feel that we are in that system, in the same system. And through the system, we as a feel each other as one body. That's called as one man and one heart. If we're in the system of in order to bestow that's connected, that's how it goes. I don't feel the difference between anyone. Everyone's like one body. Our bodies, our biological bodies, they don't differentiate us. They're not felt at all, but we feel that we all act as one. I don't know how to describe it. And this is what we have to come to. Where are we?
We are in the last paragraph of 28. These are the words of our sages in clarifying the ending. These are the words which you will say to the children of Israel. They made the precision, these are the words, no more and no less. This is perplexing. How can you say that Moses would add or take away from the words of the Creator to the point that the Creator had to warn him about it? We find no such example in the whole of the Torah. On the contrary, the Torah says about him, for he is the trusted one in all my house. 29:9. Now we can fully understand that concerning the form of work in its last manner, as explained in the words, a kingdom of priests, which is the final definition of love your friend as yourself, it was indeed conceivable for Moses to restrain himself and refrain from disclosing the full manner of the work all at once, for fear that Israel would not want to detach themselves from all material possessions and give all their fortune and assets to the Creator, as instructed by the words, a kingdom of priests. It is much like what Rambam wrote, that women and children must not be told the manner of their clean work, which must be in order not to be rewarded, and wait until they grow, become wise, and have the courage to execute it. Therefore, the Creator gave him the above warning, no less, but offered them the true nature of the work in all its sublimity, expressed in the words, a kingdom of priests.
Meaning that you have to completely concede at the end. Don't hide it from them.
And in regard of the reward that is defined in the words, a holy nation, it was possible for Moses to contemplate interpreting and elaborating further about the pleasantness and the sublime subtleness that comes with Dvikut with him, to persuade them to accept this extreme, to completely detach themselves from any worldly possessions, as do priests. Hence, he was warned no more, but be vague and do not explain the whole reward included in the words, a holy nation. The reason for this is that if he were to tell them about the wondrous things and the essence of the reward, they would necessarily use and assume his work in order to obtain that wonderful reward for themselves. This would be considered working for themselves, for self-love. That in turn would falsify the whole purpose as written.
Thus we see
that regarding the form of the work expressed in the words, a kingdom of priests, he was told no less. And about the unclear measure of the reward expressed in the words, a holy nation, he was told no more. Questions?
Me?
Yes.
Queen?
I don't see. Queens. Please, Queens.
What coming first, Arbut or Torah, in our path to the...
What coming first, Arbut or Torah? What coming
first?
Without the Torah, we cannot attain Arvut. So Arvut needs to be the goal that is attained through the influence of the reforming light, which is called Torah. But we commit in the reception of the Torah that we will receive it in order to reach Arvut.
No, Be'er Sheva.
Well, Be'er Sheva.
Hello, dear Rav, dear friends. My question is, and this is something that I heard during the two last congresses, that we have to arrange the 10 and so on, and to be in the corrected state, to draw the light and so on. If I see that we're not doing it, should I open this up before the friends and scrutinize it? I feel that like the scrutiny is in contradiction with the annulment that I'm supposed to be in and above reason. So what do you do?
I don't know. I only know one thing we need. To nullify before the 10, no matter what. And then that annulment will already take you to what you need. Annulment towards the 10. That is what I would recommend to do. Always, in everything, just that way. That's like Rabbi Akiva, who held on to the plank in the gushing seas and reached the shore of safety. that's only through annulment. That's by bowing down one's head, not look at anything, only to hold on to the group, no matter what. The group is that plank. Okay? More?
Asia.
Asia.
My question is, who was written this article to? Which, those who are engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah or the general public?
According to the way it seems, these articles were written to the audience. How broad this audience is or not, I don't know, but depict to yourself that about 80 years ago, 90 or 100 years ago, when these articles were written, the whole audience knew this language. They were all graduates of seminaries, even those socialists that were not observing, were not Orthodox, they were still educated back then, all in all kinds of religious frameworks. And therefore, Bala Sulam writes such that they will understand that this speaks of the foundation of Judaism, because it was easier for him to reach them. They came out of there. They simply didn't want to observe something there. They had some kind of socialistic thoughts, but altogether this was for them the foundation. And if you're talking about them and asking, who is the nation of Israel? What's Torah? They received it in their version of their education from childhood, these facts. That's why he had to turn to them in such a way. If he were to write about this to the current generation, our generation, certainly he would write it in a different way than, and the way he wrote the other articles, like he talks about the forces of nature and wouldn't bring us Unculus and Uziel and etc., etc. That's for sure, that he would write it in a different way. Therefore, the articles were written for a certain specific audience, and we need to take from there what we need for our path. That's it. Okay? That's it. Well, if so, we will give a word to Chanoch.
I'm asking about Niv's question regarding being equal. We received the Torah from you, you got it from Rabash, Rabash from Bala Sulam. I'm asking about where it says that we're in partnership with the Creator. Where's the opening? Where can we enter this mutuality? Through what? I heard this concept once, Rav and a friend. How do we go into this mutuality, into reciprocity in the system?
I think that I am in each and every 10 by giving you the method, and every day filling the 10s with all sorts of discernments that are new, and in calling for connection. I don't know what else can be done.
No, I have no doubt that you're in our 10. I'm asking on our part, how do we find the gate to the mutual work with you?
Only in the connection between you. You'll discover everything there, including the Creator. In the connection between you, you'll discover everything. How could it be that there is no other place?
How can we work with you in mutuality?
Also in the connection between you. That's where you will discover that I exist.
And this is why we're all equal?
We are all equal if each of you will make the effort to be in connection then by that you equalize. That's it. We don't have what else to add? Yes, Dudi?
What does it mean to agree to be a nation of virtue?
It's to be a transition, a pipe.
Agree to what?
To agree with the role that the Creator gives us, to be that transition from Him of the force and the method, an example, everything that's possible for all the nations. That's called to be a virtuous nation. That's our obligation to all the nations.
If we say that the ten is like a magnifying glass of all of mankind, so what does it mean if I focus everything on our ten?
Inside the ten, if we connect together, we must discover there constantly. How should I say this? To the extent in which you want to concentrate the ten more together, it expands. You concentrate it more and it expands even more. You concentrate it more and it expands more until it includes within it all of this world and the upper worlds and everything, everything together. And it's all in the ten, that same Havaya. All of a sudden you see that it just depends on the scale and the ratio, and the scale depends on how much you want to concentrate your vision more and more. It's like we're investigating nature. First it's some big lump, and then smaller masses and smaller, and then those atoms, and within the atoms and into there, and there you discover that there's Ein Sof there, eternity, only in such a way.
Joseph in Jerusalem is asking, what is the thing that can help the people of Israel most to understand their role?
That's for us to succeed, to go out to the nation and to tell them what their destiny is and what their obligation is, what the reason for their current state is, which is not so certain and good. That depends on us. New York?
New York.
Rav. Скажите, пожалуйста.
Rav.
Чего мы должны добиться?
What do we have to achieve? We understand the method of connection. We're working in it. Like it says that the cow wants to feed more than the calf wants to eat. What else would you like us to do? What do we have to achieve that we exist independently? What don't we understand?
Nothing but connection in the ten. I am sorry to say again the same thing. But only by that, on that depends our success. Because in the ten, you need to discover, you have to understand, if we concentrate and are concentrated within the ten, there we reveal the whole concentration of forces of this world, and through them we then will reach the spiritual world and all the ladder of degrees as inside in the center of the ten, which is constantly opening and opening and opening. There is no other place. That's the system of ten sefirot. That's it. If we can stabilize such a system before us and work just on that, you will succeed. Who was there? Yes?
From what I understand, and I'm listening to your questions, I'd like to know, how can I, in the ten, what is the meaning of love another as thyself?
What's the question?
The question, how to make it clear to the ten that everything is included in the sentence of love another as thyself.
Read the article Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, several times, and you'll see that that's what happens to us. That's what stands before us. There is nothing else. And try to talk about this more and more, specifically before the elections. Yes, I'm not laughing. This was given to us. This is also something we need to accept as being given to us from above, so that we will pass on to the whole nation where the desirable is and what is what exists, where they need to be and where they are. That everyone doesn't even relate to this slogan of love thy friend as thyself in a seriously, but they disregard it completely, and everyone agrees with the fact that criminals are managing us.
Yeah, but the meaning of the sentence is so vast that sometimes I feel that we haven't exactly perceived the entire depth of the sentence.
Yes? You already were. Leibich?
I wanted to ask. The past week we're studying about above reason and so on, and on this lesson we didn't focus on it. How do we not let go of the inner work in that regard now that we're shifting to Matan Torah and connection?
One is connected to the other. Of course, how can you be without being in absolute zero to enter the center of the ten?
So it's a layer that comes over that, but once all the focus is on this now, then...
No. One does not cancel out the other. We are constantly learning how more and more to observe the law of unification. That's it. There's no more than that. Only one thing, unity. That's it. And therefore, the absolute zero, the giving of the Torah, Arvut, all the kinds of things, doesn't matter what we learned already. It's just so that we can get that unity, that connection. That's it. There's no more than that. There's no more than connection.
Latin America.
Hola, Rab. Querido Rab.
Hello, Rab.
Costa Rica.
Hello, dear Rob. A question from Costa Rica. How can we, ask again, please?
Repeat, we can't hear the question. Ask again.
Nosotros somos partícipes de escribir la Torah actual. Si es así, ¿cómo lo hacemos?
Are we writing the Torah, and how do we
writing
do it?
The Torah, we write upon our desire. That's called on our heart. We etch it on our heart. Write it on the tablet of your heart. That's it. That's what we need to do. That's called the writing of the Torah, upon the desire. As all of our desires will take upon them the letters of the Torah from Bet, from Bereshit, from in the beginning, till Lamed of Israel, the last letter of the Torah. From its beginning to the end, in such a manner, we need to sort our desires, and then they will be in one round system, which is called the corrected Adam HaRishon, the one that is similar, equal, and adhered to the Creator. United VG. United Virtual Group.
No.
Объединенная виртуальная группа.
Слышно? Получается, чтобы прийти к Торе, нужно...
So what follows is that to reach the Torah, we have to be as one. But it also says that we receive the Torah in order to reach our Arvut.
That question was asked already, and you're asking it again. The condition for receiving the Torah is that we want to reach Arvut. Without the light of the Torah, you cannot reach the connection which is called Arvut. But we already need to know for what we need the light of the Torah. Therefore, the obligation for Arvut, when we're asked before receiving the Torah, do you want to reach Arvut? Yes, we want. And then you receive the Torah. Okay? Well, let's say that everyone asked. Everyone. I have Morris. Okay. Let him bless us before the holiday.
Thank you very much, Rav. I wanted to raise several things that I came back from abroad and it could tell about our work. First of all, I was there during the congresses and to listen to the lessons through the 10, through the connection in the 10, and I planned that I'll have internet there and I'll connect by Zoom and so on. The Creator, He turned everything upside down, left me with partial internet, and I did what you said, and I thought about the 10 all the time, and about the sorrow that I have no internet, but, you know, I went with it. What can I do? Now, also, I came to Romania 2 days before the flight, and we have a friend there that's giving lectures, and he was really surprised, and he invited us to the lecture that he gave, and there was something very special there. This is one of our friends, and there was a round table there, and also I helped him at the end of the lecture. There was a blind person there that after the round table, after he asked a few questions, turns out that he studies Torah, he lives 60 kilometers from there, he's probably Jewish, and he studies Torah, and he does it with great devotion, and it really gave a lot of inspiration, and it was very impressing, and something that completely surprised me, the taxi driver that took us to the airport, we didn't talk about Kabbalah, and the political situation there is much worse than here. Their prime minister, a day after he was elected, went to prison.
That's an example.
Yeah, they have serious problems there too. And what surprised me was that taxi driver took us, started talking about the situation, elections, everything. He says, it's like the Creator put the Rav in front of me and he starts talking. Look at the Germans. This pure race, what the Creator does with the immigrants who came there, and it really surprised me, and because I heard the lessons and the Congress through the center of the group, and the Creator was present. What I want to say is that we're doing things that if we were not in contact with the general public, it's hard to notice, but everything's permeating. And I think that all of that happened because I couldn't participate on the Zoom with other groups because I had no internet. And through that, the Creator brought me this blind guy who's studying Torah, who's not a Jew at all, and also the taxi driver who gave me the Rav to explain what the Tower of Babel is. So thank you very much. Probably they're already fruits, but we don't feel them.
I'm happy that you have other teachers.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't want to disconnect you from your hummus. That's it. There's nothing you can do. What, Leo? What's with you? Come on. These are not questions according to the lesson, right?
No, I just want to use the opportunity to invite all of our friends from the Israeli Kli, from the groups in Israel, to the lesson of the Laila de Kala that'll be Saturday evening. We're gathering here at 10:45 p.m. for Yeshivat Chavarim, after which will come the lesson. It's a very special event, and we really want to see all the friends here, and we're asking everyone to make an effort and come.
Come whenever you want throughout this holiday. It's 2 days. It's 2 days and a night, yes? Saturday, Sunday, and the night between them. Come. It's possible, women, men, and we can talk about this, we can discuss and learn, and we'll be happy to receive you here. And
you're invited at 1:30 to a live broadcast with Dr. Lightman on Sviva Tova. Kabbalah and science, what's the relation between science, altruism, God, and how is it all related to connection? Now, on Kabbalah La'am, Kabbalah and science, and let's watch a promo. Did you ever find yourself inspired by infinity and the wholeness and perfection of nature and the subtle connection between all of its parts? Maybe you even found yourself inspired by the creation of life, by the perfect cooperation between fish and birds that dance this perfect dance, maybe to understand what is the reason for all of this or what is the purpose, what was all created for, and maybe you even discovered that the true big questions science doesn't really have answers for, and maybe all the answers are inside of us. Maybe all we need is a scientific method that will allow us to discover what already exists in us. About this and more on Kabbalah and Science. In Kfar Saba, and Wednesday in Carmiel. For further details, contact us. And let's sing.
מקום של חום, ביטחון, מאיר לעולמנו. מעל תנועה, מעל מקום, מעל כל הזמנים. מקום שבו כבר לא צריך מילים. בוא ניצח, ביחד בשמחה. רוצים לך